they're playing for.
Yeah.
Oh,
come on. God, that was that much of a bother when we talked.
Tell me something about health care as you were growing up. Some of your recollections about medicine and...
Well, everyone had a family doctor, and we, of course, had one, same as everyone else. He was a very nice man, very sociable man. I always had the feeling that, after I matured and I thought back on it, that he was acknowledged to be a good doctor, even in latter years. But I always felt that we used him because he was... sort of part of on the fringe, at least, of my parents' social circle. And this was true of almost everybody I knew. People used doctors who they kind of knew. And they were family doctors. They did everything. Now, dentists were something else again. And I always had a lot of tooth trouble. And I don't think we used very good dentists either. Maybe they were the best they had then, but the dentists were used in a convenient neighborhood, and dentistry was very painful in those days, and very different than it is today, and I despised going to the dentist. And I had a great deal of dental trouble and a great deal of going to the dentist. Another thing is that my parents were not very careful about the care we took of our teeth, neither my brother or I. And in fact, this used to infuriate some of the relatives who would come to visit, and they'd say, don't you brush your teeth every night and every morning? And we'd say, well, we're supposed to.
What did you brush your teeth with then?
Toothpaste.
Toothpaste was unavailable.
Yes. Yes. Toothpaste. And in fact, I had quite an experience medically, which I guess this is the time to say it, though it was after I graduated from high school. I developed a tremendous cough, and I just couldn't get rid of it. And I, who had always been a very heavy girl and had always had to diet to maintain my a half-decent weight, suddenly was not gaining weight at all. And so I went to the doctors with this dreadful cough, and I went and I went and I went for at least 6 months to a year. And finally he said to me one day, you know, if I hadn't x-rayed your chest, I'd think you had tuberculosis. And I said, well, you know, doctor, you never have. And he said, I haven't. And I said, no. He said, well, let's just do that right away. Well, I did have tuberculosis and probably had it at that time for almost a year. And I spent the following year of my life in bed. And as you can see, I'm here to take this interview. But I did recover.
Were you and your brother born in a hospital or a home?
We were both born in a home. And there's an interesting story about my brother. When my mother went into labor with my brother, a white owl came and sat on the windowsill. And the owl never moved from the windowsill until my mother delivered. And when she did, the owl flew away. And this was supposed to be an omen of good luck for my brother.
Now, the family doctor that you had came at that time to the house?
Yes.
Were midwives still in some predominance at that time?
They were, but we did not use them. My mother did not use a midwife. She used doctors.
Now, you mentioned that when you had tuberculosis, you stayed in bed for a year.
Mm-hmm.
That was at home?
Mm-hmm. I could have gone to a sanitarium, but my mother did not want me to go, and she felt that I could have adequate care and that they could do all the sterilization and everything that was necessary by keeping me at home, which they did.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Let's backtrack a little bit because that was after high school. Let's
right.
Talk,
I'm sorry.
No, that's all right. Let's talk about your childhood and your adolescence in relationship to things that you did for fun and recreation, both, you know, as a child alone with other children or with your family.
Well, I don't recall any trips with my parents as a very young child. The earliest I recall hearing that we went to Cedar Point, Ohio, as a family. Or maybe we just went with my mother. I'm not sure. But I have no recollection of that at all. I went to Atlantic City once with an aunt.
How did one travel there?
By train. And I went to New York also by train. Then at the age of, I'm not positive whether I was 11 or whether I was 13. I think I was 11 years old. I went to camp in Maine. Now, this was the thing that fairly well-to-do families in those days did with their children. They went to New England camps. And I was very, very unhappy about going. I was very frightened because I knew no one. I'd never heard of the camp. I knew no one who was going. And I was very afraid. However, I was taken to New York, and there I met a girl that was arranged, and I don't recall exactly how it was arranged, and I don't recall this either. I don't recall whether my mother took me to New York. I'm sure she probably must have. I met a girl with whom I'm still friendly from New York, and I went to camp very unwillingly and very insecurely. And I can't say that I really ever enjoyed camp, though I went for at least 5 years. I went until I was old enough to be a counselor, actually. And then I was asked to be a counselor, and I went back, and I only stayed through half the season and left in the middle. I was just too miserable to stay. I never really thoroughly enjoyed camp. I was never athletic, and I enjoyed the swimming. And I became captain of the team. The camp was divided into two teams, and I became captain of one of the teams, even though I was a lousy athlete. But I can't say that I really thoroughly enjoyed camp. And my brother also went to camp, but he went to the brother camp of my camp. I think he thoroughly enjoyed it. And then our parents would come up to see us. They would drive up to New England in the middle of the season. And they would stay for like 2 or 3 days. And that would be big excitement because then we would go out for dinner with them one night and they would eat one night at the camp and so forth. And that was what we did. Now, as to at home what we did for recreation, I told you already that I went swimming with my mother. I remember going to my first movie when I was probably, oh, I should guess about 10 years old. And I went with my aunt.
What was the first movie like?
Well, it was Pearl White, The Perils of Pauline. And it was in series. It was a serial. And it was at the Liberty Theater in East Liberty. And you went every week to see what was happening. What was going to happen? You couldn't wait till the next week to see what was going to happen. And that was a big outing. Then as I grew older, I went to theater with my friends. We would meet downtown for lunch. We would eat at Joseph. This was a ritual. We'd go to lunch. There would be 3 or 4 of us. And we would go to lunch at Joseph Horn's.
And it was in the location of the tin house?
Yes, it was. And then we would go to theater in the afternoon.
How much does something like this cost?
Well, the lunch would be quite elegant, really, and it would cost about 35 cents. Maybe 50 cents. And I don't remember how much the theater tickets cost. I really don't remember.
Where did the theater come from? I mean, were these...
Oh, these were things that came from New York. They were traveling things. And there was also a vaudeville house, but I don't recall really ever going to that. I don't know whether it was too risque for the little girls or what, but I don't recall going to that.
That was in where? In downtown Pittsburgh?
Downtown Pittsburgh, yes. Yeah. There was a good bit of theater in those days. There was the Alvin and the Nixon, as I recall it. This may not be completely accurate, but as I recall it. And it was very exciting to go. I look forward to this very much.
What about things such as the symphony, the Pittsburgh...
My mother loved the symphony. My father did not like the symphony. So my mother would take us occasionally to a matinee of the symphony. There was a special program for children, or a matinee, we would go with my mother.
Were these shows also brought in from out of town? Pittsburgh at that time have its own symphony, do you recall?
I don't, but I don't think we had our own symphony, but I could be wrong about this. This is just a very vague recollection. I could be wrong. While you were saying that, I was thinking about parties.
Mm-hmm.
There were a lot of home parties for children. And people outdid each other, you know, in their decorations and in their cooking and so forth. And a lot of parties for adults. We were never allowed downstairs when our parents had a party. And we had to stay upstairs. And my brother and I spent many evenings sitting on the top step and trying to hear what was going on the first floor. And sometimes, believe me, it wasn't very appropriate for young children to be listening to. I think that those parties were much more risque and much more permissive than the parties that I went to later as an adult.
You mentioned that in connection with his business, your father traveled many times to Europe.
Not my father, my
grandfather. Did you as a family, or did your parents or your father do any extensive traveling?
Did you recall? No, we didn't do extensive traveling. My parents would go away quite often with friends. And when that happened, a housekeeper came in, a special lady came in to take care of my brother and me, who we both detested. But she came in and took care of us, and she scrubbed us in the bathtub so hard that my skin still hurts when I think about it. And she was very, very strict. And she was a very old lady. In my recollection, she was probably all of 40, but she was a very old lady in my recollection.
Do you recall as a child or a teenager having any hobbies or particular interests that you liked?
I was always interested in art and in drawing and painting. And then I did lots of handwork in those days. I made scads of underwear, handmade underwear. I made it for all my aunts and for everybody in the family. Beautiful silk underwear. And when I was a little older, I did a great deal of knitting for everybody. I always did a lot of things with my hands. I was never particularly interested in good music. I was always interested in the theater. And I loved to dance. And we did a lot of dancing in those days. Young people did a lot of dancing.
Was it to live music or the Victrola? Or?
It was to both to Victrola and live music. And just as a little aside here, I remember one thing I must tell you. I remember my father had a very close friend who was a bachelor and who came quite frequently to our home. And evidently, we had a radio before he had a radio, though he was a well-to-do man. And I still can close my eyes and see him sitting in our living room, and there was a buzz of conversation going about with all the other people in the room, but he would be sitting with the earphones on to the radio and tapping his foot and having a great time all by himself with his earphones on, which I think now seems so strange.
Tell me a little bit about political feelings as you were growing up.
My family were Republicans. They were staunch, ardent Republicans until my mother came along. And my mother was a much, much more liberal person than her family or the family that she had married into. And she became very interested in many liberal movements. She was an ardent pacifist. And as a matter of fact, at one point she was president of the Women's International League for Peace and Freedom. And she became a Democrat. And this caused quite a furor. And I think finally, when Roosevelt was nominated for the presidency, I believe not for the first term, but I think for his second term, my father finally changed his registration to Democrat. And this was true of the rest of the family, too. Then I also had an aunt. My father's youngest brother, Louis, married a woman by the name of Florence Silberstein. And she was an extremely liberal person, too. And she and my mother kind of ganged up on the rest of the family. But there was very deep political feeling here. And these two women really understood each other very deeply and supported each other and really swayed the entire Reisenstein clan finally becoming Democrat. My mother's brother, who was not particularly politically minded, I think finally, maybe once or twice in his life, did vote for a Democrat, but he was mainly a Republican.
Who's the first president that you can recall?
I believe Coolidge.
At the time of your childhood, women did not have the vote yet. Is that correct? I'm trying to place in my own mind.
I'm not sure.
When
I think so.
The suffragette movement.
This is very simple to look up.
Oh, I was just wondering, though, with your mother's own feelings of.
Well, my mother voted
and so forth,
but I don't remember when. I don't remember this.
Obviously, you have lived through many different eras of this country. You probably don't have very clear recollections of World War One.
I do have a very clear recollection of World War One.
Just reminisce for me a little bit about World War One.
Well, my only recollection
and the repercussions that it had on your family economically and on the community.
Well, I was too young to really tell you the influences were on the community and so on and so forth. But I do remember a few things. I remember that my Uncle Louis, my father's youngest brother, had signed up, and he was a private in the Army. And he was working in Milwaukee in a bakery. He was learning to, that was what they were teaching him, to bake bread. And as a part of the Army. And I recall his coming home in his uniform. And he really looked very peculiar. He was not a beautiful man to begin with. And his big hat and so forth. I have such clear recollections of him. He was quite a star. And I remember when the armistice was signed. I remember walking into my mother and father's room, and as I told you, they always had breakfast in their room, and there was a card table put up between the windows, and they sat in front of a window, rather, and they sat on either side of this table. And I remember walking in and seeing there was a bare tree outside the window, a big horse chestnut tree, and at this point there were not any leaves left on the tree. And I remember seeing the tree, but the sun had come out, and the sun was streaming through those branches, and my mother said, "Pieces." And I remember this so vividly. I'd like to talk a little bit about my mother.
Sure. Go right ahead.
She was a very interesting woman. She was a very heavy woman. And a very vital woman. And she was a very emotional woman. And she really became deeply involved in political things and in her great desire to see peace in the world. Her great desire. She was one of the first people that I ever knew who traveled with a black woman to meetings and stuff, and who invited black people to her table as guests. And this created quite a sensation among some of her friends. And she had a very strange way of operating in all of these things that she did. She loved her bed. And she would sit propped up in her bed with pillows surrounding her. And the entire bed would be covered with papers from head to foot. Thousands of papers. And how she ever knew what was where, I don't know, but she evidently was pretty well organized in that area. And there she would sit with somebody taking notes, the secretary. This was all volunteer work. I don't mean a paid secretary. And there she would be arranging all kinds of things. She was also she was the first donor chairman for Hadassah. And she was a vice president of the Council of Jewish Women. And she was very active in the sisterhood. She was very active in the community. And yet she was a very fun person at the same time. She loved to play cards. And she loved to have parties and go to parties. And she was a very vital woman. All right, I just felt I wanted to say that. Oh. You know, there was something I meant to tell you before and I forgot to. And that was about Friday nights at our house. And about the observance of the Sabbath. And this really fits in with my mother, because my mother was really the guiding force here. My father, who was the president of the Brotherhood at the temple and so forth, was really motivated by her interest. But my mother was a very religious person in her own way. Now, we were Reformed Jews, as I said before. And we never kept the kashrut, and we knew nothing about such things at all. And as a mature person now, it's so strange to me that my mother was such an ardent Jewess, and really knew nothing of all of these things, which is strange. We had every Friday night, we had Friday night dinner, and the relatives came. And this made me very angry, because the relatives couldn't have cared less. But my mother expected this, and they all came. And they all came, and they sat at a beautiful table that she had prepared, and ate the marvelous dinner that was served to them. And the whole time they were eating, they were kind of sneering at the fact that we were having this service, because we always had the service. My mother always lit the candles, and my father made a baruch over the bread, and then followed the dinner. And to me, this was such a shame for her. It made me very angry. I was not allowed to write or to sew on the Sabbath. unless it was extremely urgent. Of course I did, and I did it in great secrecy and privacy. My mother said, this is something that you can give up. Also, on the high holiday, I also would be very angry with my mother because my mother would go to temple on Yom Kippur and she never left her seat. First of all, she never scrubbed her teeth, which I thought was very dirty. From the time that she had her dinner prior to going to temple until the services had been concluded, she went to services on Yom Kippur morning and she never left her seat, and I could not understand how anyone could resist nature's calls to this extent. But my mother felt that this was a sacrifice that she could make, and she was an ardent Jewess, and it came as a shock to me, and I must say this, when I got married, and I'll go into this at a later time in the interview, I understand, but when I married into an Orthodox family and learned so many things about Judaism that I never knew and that were not part of my training or my mother's thinking or the running of our house, I could not believe what I was learning because I had been brought up in such a Jewish atmosphere, but a completely reformed Jewish atmosphere. Isn't that interesting?
That's good.